You clock out, we clock in. Welcome to the Torn by Sports Lunch Break.
Welcome to this edition of the Torn by Sports Lunch Break. Joining me today is Brian Howell of BuffZone.com. How are you doing today, Brian?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm originally from Virginia, so I'm still acclimating to the fact that winter is setting in and it's cold outside. I don't know how cold it is in Colorado right now, but Utah this week, it's really starting to hit that freezing temperature a little bit much.
Yeah, it was pretty warm today, but it's gonna be colder towards the end of the week under Thanksgiving, so we're bracing for it.
Yeah, we both will. Well, I mean, obviously, you know, this coming weekend, Colorado and Utah will face off in the Battle of the Rockies or whatever they want to call it these days. But first off, I'd like to kind of backtrack to the beginning of the season. What were the expectations for this Colorado team coming in, and how have they fared up to this point against those expectations?
Well, there's two different sets of expectations, I think. There was probably the outside expectations and then the expectations they had for themselves. I think from the outside, I think most people thought they could win four or five games. You know, if you look at most of the preseason magazines, they had them, you know, at 4-9, 5-8, maybe winning a Pac-12 game or two. But inside, you know, they really expected, and I don't know if I expected if is the right word, but they really badly wanted to get to a bowl game this year, which with a 13-game schedule, they needed 7 wins to do that. So I guess based on everybody else's projections, they're probably right where everybody thought since they're sitting here at 4-8. But for their own projections, they're pretty disappointed. They feel like there's probably at least 3 games, maybe 4, that they feel like they've already let get away. I think that by their own estimation, if you would look through their schedule, they think they should already be bowl eligible going into this game. So from that aspect, they're disappointed.
Okay, I mean, you know, part of that disappointment, I imagine, is the lack of bowl eligibility. Does that kind of kill some of the motivation going into the game against Utah?
I think a little bit, just because they put so much emphasis on them. They talked about it so much that, you know, I think on the one hand, I think it's good. The team, you know, raises the bar and they put that out there, but I think they might have focused on it too much. And so, you know, they went into last week against Washington State having that outside shot. When you look around the country, there's talk there may be a shortage of bowl teams. And, you know, because of that, a 6-win CU team might have got in. But, you know, they went into last week knowing they couldn't get the automatic bowl eligibility. And they didn't play very well. So I think they were kind of deflated a little bit last week. I'm curious what their motivation is going to be this week. They've always played well against Utah. I think that they're motivated. They say they're motivated to send their seniors off the right way. So I think that that's where they're going to try to draw their motivation. But certainly not having that bowl game out there has kind of deflated them a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, I think most Utah fans and a lot of the media pundits would say that, like, the last 4 years that Utah should, you know, have been in control of the games against Colorado, but yet every year it's a tight game. What do you think there is to that? And will it be tight again this year with the you know, this being, in essence, a bowl game for Colorado?
Yeah, I don't know why it's been tight every year. I mean, it's kind of strange that, you know, the first couple of years CU was in the Pac-12, and really the first 3, they just got blown out by everybody except for Utah. And that first year, they actually beat Utah. I think it was the second year they had Utah beat and then, you know, coughed it up in the fourth quarter. So I don't know why they've been close to Utah. I guess they match up well with them. I'm not sure. I mean, Utah, you know, when Utah was new into the Pac-12, they weren't that strong of a team yet. So I think both teams were a little closer to each other at that point. But I don't know. I think there's something, maybe there's something to that last game where, you know, Coach McIntyre talked about it today. He said that some of these, you know, a lot of these guys, they realize they're not going to be playing football for several months, and sometimes that can motivate them to go out there and play hard, knowing that they don't have, they're not going to get a chance to play for a while. So maybe that's it, that every time they go into this Utah game, they know that's the end of their season. So maybe they just play hard to try to finish strong. I don't know, but it's kind of unusual. It's kind of weird how every single game with Utah has been close. I think this year will be close as well, just because I think both teams are, I think Colorado is more talented than they've been. And from what I can see from the outside, looking at Utah, they're a little bit nicked up and a little bit more vulnerable than they were maybe a month and a half ago. So I expect this to be a close game, probably a one score at the most, maybe a 10-point game. But I think it'll be close and come down to the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no, Utah is definitely nicked up, having lost a lot. I mean, they've lost their top two players in receiving, which were Dante Booker and Britton Covey, and they've also, and then, I mean, obviously Booker was the force to this offense, and so offensively they're hurting, and as well as defensively, it'll be interesting to see how those injuries play in this game.
And that's really the same with Colorado. I mean, obviously they don't have their quarterback anymore, Steph Lufau, and I mean, they've had so many injuries. I mean, when you look at the start of the year, starting left tackle, starting tailback, starting middle linebacker, just there's so many injuries. Starting free safety, they're all out for the year. Quarterback's out for the year. So they've had a ton of injuries, and they're just kind of and they never had the bye week. They had the 13-game schedule with no bye week. So I think they're kind of a little bit running on fumes here at the end.
Yeah, wow, with no bye week, I would expect some fumes. I mean, you mentioned the quarterback injury. Freshman Cade Atse has kind of taken over, and he's had two full games now.
Are you there?
Yes. It seems like we cut out.
I missed your question there.
Okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned the quarterback injury. Freshman Cade Atse has taken over and has two full games under his belt. What are your thoughts of Cade up to this point?
Yeah, he's done a decent job. Last week was his first start. He played three quarters against USC and did a nice job coming in off the bench after Sefo got hurt. And then last week, you know, it was his first start. And it doesn't look good when they lose 27-3. He only put up 3 points against the Washington State defense that's giving up 30 a game. But there were a lot of things that went into last week. And he threw 40 passes, completed 26 of them. And of the 14 incompletions, I bet close to half of them were drops, where his receivers just didn't help him out at all. He's a pretty accurate passer. That game against USC, in fact, he had the second highest completion percentage in CU history for a single game, with a minimum of 20 passes. So, and that's in CU history. So, a pretty good way to start things off. But, he does make some mistakes, and he'll throw an interception now and then. He hasn't learned how to quite throw it away yet. Hasn't learned how to really avoid the sack yet. And, so he'll make some mistakes but he is pretty accurate, and he's a pretty confident kid. He's a fiery kid, and we saw it the other night. He was not afraid to bark at his linemen and his receivers, and he'll get in their faces a little bit, which is kind of nice to see for a young kid. So he just needs to play better, and frankly, he needs the guys around him to play better.
Yeah, I mean, if the wide receivers are dropping that many passes, I mean, that's a pretty much on them.
I was just going to say their center too hasn't really had snap issues all year, and in the shotgun twice last week skips snaps to him that Cade had to try to reach down on the ground and grab, and both times he just fell on the ball. One of them was on a fourth and goal and really just took away their chance at a touchdown, so that was the center not helping him out there. And so He really didn't get a whole lot of help in that game. So if he can get some help, I think he's a pretty good quarterback and can maybe get some things done against Utah.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, you know, he had about 40 attempts against Washington State, about a little over 20 against USC. What's kind of the normal for this Colorado offense? Are they going to be bombing it and trying to throw it that much, or are we going to be more of the conservative 20-20 count of attempts?
They generally like to balance it out. Most of the year when they've had Cepho in the lineup, it's been pretty balanced because Cepho himself would get 12 to 15 rushing attempts. And he was a big part of their rushing offense because he was 6 foot, or he is 6 foot four, 240 pounds. So he would do the read option and keep it himself quite a bit. Third and one situations, it was almost always Cepho, you know, pushing the pile forward and getting a first down. Whereas Cade Apse is 6 foot one and about 190 maybe. So he's given up about 50 pounds. He's not quite the rushing threat. And frankly, they don't want to run him as much because they are down a quarterback, and so they don't really want to get him hurt. So they've kind of taken away the quarterback running threat, and so they're going to lean more to the tailbacks. And, you know, as we saw last week, they decided to throw a little bit more. Through 40 times, I think they ran it 31 times. So it was somewhat balanced, but I think they would like that to be those numbers to be a little bit more even. You know, if they're going to have 70 plays, I think ideally they'd like to, if it's going to go one way or another, they'd like to have more rushing than passing attempts.
Yeah, I mean, against this Utah defense, I don't know if there's going to be that many plays, especially with the way Utah likes to run the ball and slow the game down. You know, I was looking through some of the stats, and it looks like the main playmaker on this offense has been Nelson Spruce as far as the main target. What can you say about him, and what should Utah expect to see him against the Utah secondary?
Yeah, Nelson's a great receiver. I mean, he a couple weeks ago, he became the Pac-12's all-time leading receiver in terms of receptions. He's sitting on 289, I believe, so he's got 11 catches away from 300 for his career. So he's a really good receiver, just runs great routes, catches the ball. He actually had a drop last week, which was surprising. I think I only remember one other drop all season. So he catches almost everything that's thrown his way. And Cade really seems, especially more than Lufau, Cade Apse seems to be relying on Nelson quite a bit. So I think they're going to throw his way a lot. He caught, I think, 10 passes last week and probably had 15 targets. So I would expect about the same thing. So Utah's going to have to be on him, but Nelson runs great routes and Cade knows where to place the ball. So I think that Nelson's probably going to get, you know, 10 receptions, probably around that. And I think the key really for Utah is knowing that Nelson's going to get those catches and really just trying to not let other guys burn you too much, because Nelson's going to get those catches. You just got to kind of limit the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, Nelson's been averaging, it looks like, 11 catches a game. So he should be getting to that 300 mark, even against Utah in a secondary who I'm sure is looking to prove themselves after a couple rough games. Well, I mean, the interesting thing I saw when I was looking at the Colorado thing is their pass defense is fourth in the Pac-12, probably the strong suit in their defense. And Utah seems to be getting very pass friendly near the end of the games as of late. How do you think the pass defense will stand up to Travis Wilson and this core of wide receivers?
I think they'll do pretty well. I don't think Wilson is a great quarterback. I think C's played a lot better quarterbacks in the Pac-12. I mean, Wilson does a decent job and does what Utah wants him to do, from what I can tell. But they've played much better quarterbacks than him, and they've done a pretty decent job against them. Their secondary is their strong point. They've got a lot of experience back there, and the best player on the entire team is a nickelback, Chidobe Awuzie, who's probably their best cover corner. He's also one of their sack leaders. Does a really good job in the run game. They just kind of throw him around everywhere. But Tedrick Thompson is a strong safety. Those two guys are probably the two best players on the team, regardless of position. So they're pretty strong in the back. So I think that Travis is going to have to be pretty good against this team. And the run game is probably going to have to open some things up in the passing game Utah to have a lot of success through the air.
Yeah, and I mean they still have been successful. I mean last week Joe Williams coming in for Booker still ran for over 100 yards. So they will be looking to establish that run. I don't imagine a ton of Utah fans have been watching all the Colorado games. But I was hoping maybe you could give us a couple surprise players or players that we really should keep our eye out come Saturday.
Let me see. There's probably a couple of them, and sometimes they're surprises to us too because you don't know game to game what you're going to do. One thing to watch is the tailback position because that's one position that we truly don't know week to week who's going to be the guy. There's three guys that they like to use back there: Philip Lindsay, Patrick Carr, and Donovan Lee. And any one of those three could go off. I mean, they've all had a 100-yard rushing game. They actually have five different running backs have a 100-yard rushing game this year. One of them being injured, so he's not going to play. But any one of those guys, I think, could be a factor in this game. Philip Lindsay was the main guy last week, but that doesn't mean he's going to be this week. But they like to throw to those tailbacks quite a bit. Cade has been throwing more to the tight ends than Sefo Lufau did, so keep an eye out for a couple of tight ends, Dylan Keeney and Sean Irwin, who are both they're starting to catch some passes the last couple of weeks. So in the passing game, those two guys, as well as maybe a Devin Ross or Shea Fields, if they're not throwing to Nelson, they're going to be Shea's their next best option at receiver. He's a pretty fast kid, but he's been dealing with an ankle injury, so he may not be as effective as he could be. But those are kind of the main guys to look out for on offense. And then defensively, Kenneth Ogbodi is a pretty good linebacker. And you got to watch out for Derek McCartney, a defensive end who does a pretty good job rushing the quarterback.
All right. I appreciate the scouting report because I know, at least myself personally, I wasn't 100% sure who I needed to watch or be prepared to watch from this Colorado team. Coming in to Saturday, Utah's pretty heavily favored. I'm wondering if you could favor us with your prediction for the game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting one. I think it's hard to predict because I'm not sure what the motivation is going to be for either team. Like I said, I talked about Colorado and what their motivation could be. I'm interested to see Utah as well, and you could speak to this, but just a few weeks ago, they were number three in the country, and it seems like a lot of the things they were shooting for are out of reach now. So I'm curious what their motivation is going to be. But I do expect this to be another close game between these teams. For some reason, they do match up. I just don't really trust Colorado enough to limit the mistakes. I mean, they make so many mistakes week in and week out that cost them games that, I think Utah is good enough to capitalize on those things. And so I'm going to pick Utah 27-20 in this one.
All right. Well, Brian, I appreciate you coming on. I got one more question for you. This is the Torn by Sports lunch break. So I'm wondering, what's your favorite spot to hit up for lunch when a Colorado game is on the docket?
Favorite spot to hit for lunch? You mean in Colorado or where?
Yeah, in Colorado, because I'm sure, next year when we play Colorado again, fans will travel. So I'm really looking for the spot that they need to go to when they when they come to town.
Well, I'm going to give you a place that's not any one restaurant, but, when you come to Boulder, really you got to go down to Pearl Street Mall, which is a few blocks of shops and stores and restaurants, things like that, and lots of fun people watching. So really anywhere down there, that's the place to go. Just head down to Pearl Street, have some fun down there, and you get a little bit of everything down there. And for a specific restaurant, Pasta J's is always good if you like Italian. And, not a lot of better Italian restaurants in the area than Pasta J's. So check out that place or the Pearl Street Mall.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate the recommendation. It's always fun to get some good people watching, for sure.
Pearl Street and Boulder, that's the place to do it.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks again, Brian, and we'll talk to you again some other time.
Great. Thank you.
This has been a Torn Life Sports production.